I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What's up, guys? Alex Contreras alongside Anthony Red Garcia. Welcome back to another episode of Marlins Barbecue. Red, talk to me. The Marlins won first time since March. How do you feel?
We got a win yesterday. It's about time, man. It feels good. I'm just happy to see winning baseball. We should have won on Tuesday as well, but hey, it is what it is.
Final score, 6-2 Miami over Atlanta. They secure the W to finish the exhibition game, Spring Training 2.0. The Fish are headed for Philadelphia. But before we get into the Philadelphia series, we want to touch base on the Atlanta exhibition. Yes, the Marlins lost the first game of the series. We had a heartbreaking eighth inning in that first game of the exhibition back. But game two, the Marlins came out swinging once again. The Fish connected for 14 hits. Once again, they had over 17 runners left on base. Last night, they left 21 runners left on base. So like Red was talking about yesterday, these guys continue to get on base, things that we saw very little of the year before.
Yeah, again, between the 2 days, we had 38 people left on base, 38 runners. That's huge, guys. Eventually, those guys, some of those guys are going to be pushed in. And look at the key guys contributing. You know, you got Alfaro, he was left on base three times, Rojas twice. The bottom of the lineup seems to be the one picking it up, Birdie three times. And if you're at the bottom of the lineup is getting on base, you're setting it up for Villar, Aguiar, Dickerson, Anderson. Guys, we're going to win ball games. We're going to score runs. This team does not look like, you know, your uncle's Marlins. This is not, you know, the last 10 years or whatever it's been already, 20 years of Marlins baseball. This actually looks like we're in the right track, and I'm excited.
Going down the lineup, the Marlins had Jonathan Villar leading off at the DH. Jesus Aguilar at first base, batting second, a little bit different from the first game back. Dickerson continued to man the three-hole. Harold Ramirez, a surprising move, batting cleanup. Behind him was Ryan Anderson in the five-hole, Eason at the six-hole, Alfaro seven, Rojas at short, and rounding off things was John Birdie at center field. How do you feel about this team? I mean, it's solid up and down all the way around. And you know what? It's the second game back in Spring Training 2.0, and I'm fully on board on the Jonathan Villar train, bro.
Yeah, I'm on that. I've been on that train. I liked what Harold's doing. You know, he hit that solo home run to start off the scoring yesterday. Man, the guy just hits. There's no other explanation to it. I can't understand how he does it, why he does it, but the guy just hits. He's always hit. And I'm on his train, too. I don't see why rush a prospect when we have Harold right there. Is a prospect going to outperform Harold right now? I don't know. But let's just see what Harold's got. Let's give him the season and see if we struck gold with him.
And I mean, nobody.
You can see the. Go ahead.
Sorry. I mean, nobody can really come at Harold Ramirez. Nobody can say, oh, they gave him the position. You know what I mean? Like, there's other guys on the team that you're talking about. Oh, does he deserve to be on the team? Does he not? We don't want to speculate those names. But this is a guy that's definitely earned his spot. He's earned to be the opening day right fielder. And there's definitely things that Don Mattingly's seeing way more than the average fan or an average reporter seeing. All right? Yeah, Ramirez changed his stance up a little bit. and it's helping him up so much more. I remember watching his stance the last year and before the Marlins signed him in the Winter League ball, watching with the Leones del Caracas in the Venezuelan League. Like, yo, this cat's got a weird stance, but it was working. And if it's broke, don't fix it, right? And the Marlins, you know, they were trying to tweak it last year. But like I just said, if it's not broke, don't fix it. They waited until the offseason. In the offseason, they made minor tweaks. And look, Harold keeps going off, man. Hitch Ramirez.
Really, it's just information that's kind of been thrown back our way. There's a fly ball to left field, and it is going to carry out for a home run. First couple of rows in left field. Harold Ramirez with a nice afternoon, a two-run shot.
Yeah, and continuing down the lineup, Anderson finally got going. You saw the dugout when he came in there after he hit his double, his first hit of the summer, I guess you'd call it, with these two games. And he was just relieved, and you could tell everybody was giving him a hard time and messing around with him. So that's good to see. Hey, talk to me about Diaz, bro. He only had one hit yesterday, but was slapping the ball.
He was having professional at-bats, bro, like what you were just talking about. He made a professional at-bat. He had a key at-bat. He hit the ball so Brian Anderson could advance from second to third. And that's what it's about, man. If you know, sometimes everybody wants to get a base hit and help that batting average out. Bro, but at the end of the day, if you play fundamental baseball and you get the runner over and you're doing everything in your power, the things that you're supposed to do to help this team win, then Eason Diaz, bro, you're going to be secure for years to come. You know, like yeah, right now, I'm not even pressing that. Oh, does he need to be the opening day starter? Like, does he need to be the starter for their whole season? This Marlins team it's a luxury that Don Mattingly has, a John Birdie, a Villar, a Rojas, an Eason, Eddie Alvarez. You could put guys in any of these spots to cover for him. Sean Rodriguez is another guy. You know, like, there's so much depth and versatility to this squad that you feel like you won't feel bad to tell Eason one day if he had an 0-for-4 day. You know, 0-for-4 day, but he got runners over. Tell him, hey, Eason, take a day off because, you know, you can put it in a John Birdie to cover him or a Villar to go in.
And that's why this show is so important, because we look beyond the stats. We don't just look at the stat line, because you look at the stat line for the last two games. Yeah, Eason went 1-for-4, 1-for-5, whatever it was. But it's the fact that it's the contact behind it. He hit a ball right at the right fielder, and if it would have been a foot to the right, a foot to the left, that ball would have been rolling to the fence. He would have had a double.
And we'll hear from the president of baseball operations, Michael Hill, in Philadelphia. A line drive out to right. Anderson tags and heads to third base. He will get there. So a productive out for Eason Diaz.
That's what I'm talking about. And that's what you love to see from Eason. Clutch at bat right there. Fell down in the count. Got something up that he could handle after fouling off a couple of pitches.
The line drive he hit past the first baseman yesterday, it wasn't a catchable ball. It was a catchable ball because it did hit the glove, but that ball was scorched, you know? So he could have gone 0-for-4, but had four at-bats that he killed the ball. He just hit it right at people. And that's going to happen, and guys, those balls are going to fall. You hit the ball hard enough, eventually it's going to fall. So those are the good at-bats you want to see. You don't want to see a guy go up there and strike out. You don't want to see a guy go up there and look outmatched by every pitcher. So Eason, it looks like he's turned a little bit of a corner here, and hopefully he could project that into the season. Beyond that, Alfaro keeps hitting, and Rojas keeps hitting. Birdie was hitting ninth, and his speed was his speed is something else. I think he beat out an infield single. What did you see from the bottom of the lineup, and are you liking what you're seeing so far?
Bro, I love what I'm seeing from the bottom of the lineup, and credit to the entire lineup, not only the bottom of the lineup. When these guys step in, when your Miami Marlins step into the plate, look at their face. They are all in the zone. They're all focused. There's nobody goofing around. You know what I mean? Like, they're all ready to go. They're all ripping. They're attacking. They're assaulting the first few pitches. And it's a different hitting style than what we were accustomed to. You know what I mean? This Miami Marlins team has seen so many hitting coaches in the past years that it's incredible. I thought Barry Bonds was going to come and put a stop to it, but it looks like James Ross is going to be the stopgapper to all that. Like, I'm so happy to see how these fish are coming out. Like, you thought maybe, all right, that first game they scored 8 runs. Are they going to, you know, go on a little bit of a flat buzz after that, you know? But nah, they came out swinging again, just attacking. I love how Alfaro, Rojas, Diaz, Birdie, like, that's the bottom of the order, bro. That's crazy. I feel like these guys can be anywhere near Like, you could put Eason at the top of the order. You could put a Rojas at the top of the order. Birdie, no problem, top of the order. Alfaro, meet. You know what I mean? So if you have those guys at the bottom feeling comfortable as a key group, you're good, bro, because it's all about working as a team, collaborating. You know what I mean? Let the next guy do it. If I can't do it, I don't have to get that RBI base hit. Eason doesn't have to worry about that because, you know, he has Alfaro behind him. Alfaro doesn't have to feel that pressure because, hey, here's Mickey Rowe coming behind me. And if there's nobody on base, Mickey Rowe can get on base. Birdie can get on base. So the big boys can come up, you know, in Villar, in Aguilar, in Dickerson. Like, personally, how do you feel about Aguilar moved up to the second hole? Like, we were talking about, wow, he's looking great in a power spot in a 4-5 hole. You know, I wouldn't have a problem being in six, but now we put him, you throw the curveball, you throw the screwball at people, and you put him in the two hole, and that's a great situation because if you think about it, baseball terms, you got Villar as your leadoff hitter, and he's trying to take second, right? Once he's on base, he's creating havoc for all those people. I remember D. Gordon. I remember Juan Pierre. When they were on base, you know, that pitcher wasn't just thinking about the batter. He had to keep his mind also on the runner. And if he distracted his mind from the batter to the runner, and he's just thinking runner, 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 then the runner won. And that's what Jonathan Villar is going to do. Like, you're getting in the pitcher's mind, and you're going to force him to throw either a fastball or a two-seamer. I'm trying to get this ball as fast as possible to the plate so that Villar doesn't steal it from me. And that becomes a plus opportunity for guys like Jesus Aguilar because fastball, he's going to rip it. He's going to crush it. And that is going to become a hit and run, and Villar is going to be able to score off of a double easily. You know what I mean? So it's a great – I love that move. I wasn't expecting it from Don Mattingly. So how do you feel about it?
I liked it. I think it's protection for Villar because now all of a sudden you got to worry about him not only hitting the guys after him. And I think it helps Aguilar. He's going to see a lot better pitching than rather than having him fifth or sixth, whether, you know, be the guy behind him isn't necessarily a Brian Anderson or a Dickerson. Putting him at the two hole, the pitcher knows Dickerson, professional hitter, Ramirez, Anderson, Diaz, these guys are coming behind him. He can't just go up there and even pitch around them. Putting him in the sixth hole, you could have Diaz behind him, but after that, you know, it could get a little bit, you know, easier than, you know, Dickerson or Anderson. So I like the move. I don't know if he stays with it, but it was interesting yesterday. I like it.
I mean, looking at the lineup, bro, like, it's just protection for everybody. Protection for protection for protection. Bro. Everybody sandwiched in for protection. Like you said, Aguilar, Sanderson between Dickerson and Villar, he's protected. Ramirez, it was like you weren't expecting a Harold Ramirez to be batting cleanup. He's not your prototypical cleanup hitter, but he's being protected, sandwiched in between a Dickerson and Anderson. So that's a good situation for him. The same goes for Eason. He's being sandwiched between Anderson and Alfaro. You know what I mean? Like, it's just great situations to get your hitters in. And I love his philosophy. Like, yeah, we're turning a quarter, baby. Like, the fish could have easily been 2-0.
Yeah, and then moving on to the pitching, speaking of what could have been.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Oh, real quick, I'm sorry. Going back to the hitting, something I want to mention. The Braves seem to have struggled against our starters the last 2 days. I mean, Acuna had one hit. Albies had one. Freeman had one in 2 days. Ozuna had one. And going on and on and on. What does that say about our starting pitching the last 2 days? And where do you see this rotation matching up against the NL East?
We just getting started. Nah, we already got started. Yeah. Look at this rotation, baby. We were talking about the prospects. The prospects are starting to blossom. They get an opportunity. They're seizing the opportunity. And these Marlins are showing they can go toe for toe. They really buy into the why not us, bro. Why not us? Look at Pablito, man. Pablito Day. Nobody got shortchanged. I'm so proud. That changeup that he got my guy Marcelo Ozuna on. Woof. Man, Marcel looked cool in a Braves uniform, by the way. But I don't want to get sidetracked. I'm really excited about the fact that, wow, it's just Pablito is taking it to another level. And Eleazar came in. He pitched 3 innings. He struck out a guy. he did some work as well. And I just love how the bullpen's really coming together, bro. The bullpen is just like, wow. You look at the guys that they threw out yesterday. They had Lopez, Hernandez, Holloway, Tarpley, Sharp, Stanek. And all those are sharp names, all right? You see what I did? They were sharp, right? Yeah. Holloway, man, is looking crazy. He's getting ready to make that jump from single A to the major leagues. He's going to make that 30-man roster. Like, the Marlins are set to announce that in a few hours. Look for it to be announced past noon, the final roster spots. I like Mr. Tarpley, Mr. Sharp, Stanek. I mean, there was what is there not to like?
Yeah, I mean, these set the bullpen is interesting because I was very vocal early on in the summer, I guess, that I said it. I go, guys, there's no need to carry 15 relievers like some people were tweeting. If you use 15 relievers,
there's something wrong
in a roster. Something went very wrong. Now you look at Stanek, Sharp, Tarpley, Holloway, Hernandez is going to be a starter. Then you add Boxberger or Box whatever, who announced that the Marlins announced he was going to make the team. You look at Yemi Garcia and guys like that, you see that those are 7, 8, 9 names. It's not 14. So what I'm getting at is the Marlins, for the first time in a long time, seem to have a bullpen. They don't have, you know, I'm sure Mattingly doesn't know, you know, who's going to be the long guy, who's going to be, you know, all that stuff hasn't been worked out. But he knows who the back end is. He knows who his 7th, 8th, and 9th inning are. And it's so nice to go into a season having a 7th, 8th, and 9th inning guy. You know, last year we had Ramos, and then the year before Ziegler. Yeah, we knew that we had one guy. But before that, it was just an unknown, and I think that's great. Going back into the Braves, though, yesterday we faced Wright, who is projected to be their number 3 starter. The day before, we faced their number 4 starter. And by all accounts, our starters won every matchup there. What does that tell you about Braves pitching if their 3rd and 4th starter is what we saw? Yeah, Wright has the tools to dominate, and Faulty, you never know. He's, you know, he's hit or miss. But if the 3rd and 4th starter, you know, are these guys, do the Braves have enough to really run away with this division like some people say they will?
I think the Braves last year lucked out a little bit. They have a lot of young pitching. They were slightly ahead on the curve, right? And on the Marlins pitching staff, you know, Mike Soroka, Max Fried, Sean Newcomb, they were all doing great. But that's a marathon of a season, 162 games. This is a 60-game season. This is completely different, you know. And yeah, last year the Braves had an upper hand on the Marlins rotation. But this Marlins rotation has another year of experience under its belt, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Sandy Alcantara is now the opening day starter. Caleb Smith is a monster. Jose Ureña. I'm mixing up my Jesus and Jose today. I don't know what's going on with me. But we got Jose Ureña, Bulldog, Pablo, Cy Young stuff. Eliezer, he's just scraping like the ceiling, bro. You guys have no idea. Mr. Hernandez is going to be he's going to be a big fan favorite. And as far as like, how are we going to compete against the whole rest of the National League East, man? I mean, we talked about it. I feel like the best rotation in the National League East is the Washington Nationals, followed by, you know, the Braves, and the Marlins are right there. But I feel like it's how you come out of the gate, and I feel like these Marlins are going to come out of the gate with fire under their ass, man. They are ready to eat the world. They're ready to show the world. They're ready to shock the world. The fighting fish are out and about, and our offense has shown that it can go toe-to-toe with anybody out there. Yeah, we might not be the powerful New York Yankees, the Bronx Bombers, but we can play some fundamental baseball. And if we play our ball with getting the runners over, stealing bases, playing defense, pitching, then we're playoff bound. And you know when these Marlins are playoff bound, baby, we're World Series champ bound.
Yeah, and another announcement that was made yesterday was Vesia making the roster, which is huge. We spoke about him a little yesterday, and we love him. Moving on here a little bit, fun fact, guys, the Marlins put up 7 runs against this Braves bullpen. So when you want to talk about who we faced, the Braves might have a little bit of a – they don't have a clear path here, as I would like to say. Alex, brother, we made it. Happy opening day 2020. Tomorrow's officially Marlins opening day. How are you feeling about that?
Man, I'm so happy. Like, I'm so grateful. Thank you, universe. Like, I believe it was you that sent me this beautiful video from MLB Network. Zach Rabb retweeted it, and it was just this poetry, emotion, a video of baseball coming together when America and the world needs it most.
Baseball is almost the only orderly thing in a very unorderly world. If you get three strikes, even the best lawyer in the world can't get you off. You are our companion from childhood, and such friends have a special hold on us. As best friends do, we pick up a conversation as if 266 days had never passed. Welcome back, old friend. It is so good to see you.
And now is America's pastime to be present time and bring joy to our people, to take that distraction of what's going on in the world right now, to give us a little bit of relief. I think the pandemic hit everybody, you know, it hit them home when we were pretty much locked up in our houses and we got our sports taken away. With that being said, man, the joy of baseball coming back, opening day 2020, the COVID season is one for the history books, man. And it's one for the history books because our Miami Marlins are taking that why not mentality, and we're going to face off against those Philadelphia Phillies, and Sandy's going to face off against Aaron Nola. And Aaron Nola, you know, we can expect a great pitching matchup. But just looking at it, man, we talked about it. These Phillies think that they're going to slug their way into the playoffs, and it's not going to happen because pitching wins championships, and the Marlins have pitching. All right, the Marlins have pitching. I'm excited to see our boys go out there and make us proud.
Couldn't agree more, brother. Perfectly said. All right, guys, time to move on to our local famous this or that segment, Phillies edition.
This or that.
All right, you guys know how it is by now. We'll say each position versus Marlins position versus the Phillies position, and we'll rank them at the end, vote, and see, you know, who won. All right, so catcher, we have Alfaro versus Real Muto. I know that's a tough one. Who do you got?
I got my man, Alfaro. Let's go, Colombia!
Yeah, I love Alfaro, but on this one, I got to go Real Muto. I firmly believe he's one of the top catchers in baseball.
If he's the top catcher, Alfaro's right behind him.
Yeah. First base, we have Aguiar and Hoskins.
I'm going Hoskins.
Yeah, I agree. Aguiar may have had that amazing 2017, but he needs to prove it this year. This is a good one. Second base, Eason Diaz or Segura?
Eason.
Yeah, I'll go Eason there as well. Just the potential and stuff. He's the man. I think he's going to blow up. Shortstop, Miguel Rojas.
I am going with Didi.
Same here, Didi. Miguel Rojas, we love you. Don't block us. But you're pure utility man, brother. And let's just leave it at that. This is one I already know the answer to, but I got to ask, third base, Anderson or Kingery?
Andy.
Yeah, my boy finally started hitting yesterday. Good to see. All right, on left field, we got Dickerson versus McCutchen. That's interesting.
I'm going, oh, man, Cutch is fun to watch. But I'm going with Corey Dickerson, man. He's our number three hitter. He's our key free agent signing. Let's go, Corey McKenzie Dickerson, baby. Let's do it.
Yeah, Dickerson for me too. He's a professional hitter.
Love his Phillies fans. The Phillies fans were sick when he left.
Yeah, and I mean, Cutch is awesome. Don't get me wrong, but you know he's been hurt. But I love him. I love his style of play. I love what he did in Pittsburgh for that city. But I'll take Dickerson on this one. Center field, Villar or Haseley?
Villar.
Same here, Villar. I lost my spot here. Right field, we got Harper versus our hitting Ramirez.
Oh, I'm going Harold, man. Harold. You my guy. Watch him, bro. He's gonna shock the world this year.
You're going Homer there, huh?
I'm going Homer Ramirez.
And I'll go Harper just because Harper is one of the best power hitters in baseball. But let's see who hits for a better average this year. Finally, DH, we have Cooper versus Jay Bruce. And before we pick that one, I have no idea if Jay Bruce is going to be their DH. That was just the name that I saw. And
I'm going with Cooper.
Yeah, give me a young Coop there also. And I went 500. I went 5 for 5, and you went 5 for 3. 5 Marlins, 3 Phillies, and I went right down the middle.
There you go. If I would have not gave, because I'm going to keep it 100, I gave out one homer vote, it still would have been 5-4 Marlins.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely went homer on one or two of those. But I respect it.
This is come on, man. You gotta back up your squad, man. Because when you see these guys in the locker room, well, you're not going to see them in the locker room this year. But when you see them on those Zoom calls, they're going to be looking at you like, oh, yeah, Harper. You know what I'm saying? The Pitbull's going to look at me like, yo, you pay Harper. Yeah,
and this is a Marlins podcast. I highly doubt there's a single Philly fan even listening. So if you are too bad, you guys are not going to win anything ever. You know, there was an article saying why on the Phillies website, because I check all the websites just to see the top stories. And they were saying like, oh, people are counting us out. Yeah, because you guys are just going to try to outslug everybody. That doesn't work. One slump away and you guys are done. And for the Braves, you have no pitching. Nationals, you guys have no offense. And Mets, you guys are the Mets. You guys already have injuries. Marlins are winning the NL East this year. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. Yo, Q, when we play the Braves, we got to do the chop song. What do they play? It goes, oh. Well, Braves, let me tell you about your pitching. You got no pitching. No.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm not saying the Marlins are going to win at all, but I don't know how you could look at these rosters of the NL East and easily pick the Braves to win. I mean, yesterday the Marlins faced their relievers, the ones that are going to be pitching, O'Day, Melancon, Minter. Those are major league, you know, relievers. Those aren't guys that are there trying out. So I don't know. I think the NL East is going to be fun, man. I don't think it's going to be as simple as people think. I could be dead wrong and the Nationals could run away with it, but I think it's going to be a great time. I can't wait.
Sophomore slump for the Braves. I'm calling it.
You heard it here first, folks. And with that, we wish you all a beautiful day. The rosters will be announced in a couple hours. This is being recorded a few hours before the roster announcements. So check that out. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Fish Stripes on Twitter so that you could be up to date with everything, guys. This is Red Garcia with always my man, Alex Contreras. And we'll see you next time on Marlins Barbecue. No te preocupes que esta noche.